Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking all things AFL Fantasy and Supercoach Draft all year round. This week, we'll be looking at the things we noticed from Round 17 AFL action to help you prepare for the run home into Fantasy Finals. We have waiver wire pickups, Captain Risky, and a special segment at the end of the show to discuss some potential Keeper League trade deadline deals. I'm Doss, and we have no Stevie Fizz on the show this week due to some crappy Ararat internet. So no one can stop me talking about the beautiful Paddy Dows of the draft world. But Jono Crockett is here, and hopefully your internet holds up this week. Welcome, Jono.
G'day, listeners. Yeah, I hope so. I had a power failure about half an hour before we started. But Doss, I don't know what they call it over there in South Australia, but here in Victoria, they call it a Palmer. It's Sunday afternoon, I'm going to get my Red Rooster that I do every Sunday, roll into the drive-thru, and there it is on the specials board. We all love to palmy. On Red Rooster in suburbia Victoria. Get fucked, Red Rooster. It's a Palmer, and I've already written a letter to head office to complain and just to get that I changed to an A. It's a travesty that we see this here in Victoria because it is a Palmer.
It's actually a Palmy, Jono. So, and that is the SA way. Palmy is the correct terminology, but we'll also maybe just jump away from Red Rooster, come over to SA and grab yourself a Barnacle Bill. Well, the Blue Moon is out. Can barely recognise him, it's been that long. But the Statesman is back.
I do apologise to the listeners for my absence. Some may say that it's because I'm no longer mentioned in the show's opener. Others may say that I'm just been avoiding Cam. All I can say is hashtag Cam Out is building momentum.
Gee whiz, Statesman. Didn't know you were even part of the show anymore, but the intro is here to stay, and it's a beautiful new intro. We love it without the Statesman mention in there. On to our Round 17 review, looking at each game and all the things we noticed. First off, we'll go to the Steve-covered game, but he's not going to be on the show, so Jono's got a few fizz points to go through for the West Coast Collingwood game.
Yeah, some of the things that Steve did notice was he noticed that Mr. Pendlebury himself, although he's out with that finger injury, he was rotating between midfield and half back. So maybe they're just getting him prepared for the Taylor Adams return, which now that if Pendlebury is out for a number of weeks, which with that finger, which it is said to have been said, Adams will slot straight back into that midfield. So those who have been holding on to him for, it seems like, most of the season, they'll be welcoming him back with not much competition, especially with Dane Beams as well. And I think we've mentioned it a few times as well since Nick Nat's been back. It looks like West Coast are really sticking to that 50 to 55% time on ground. It was pretty close towards the end of the game there, and they just were not putting Nick Nat on that ground to contest with Grundy, and whether it cost him the game, who cares? But it means he's unplayable in Dream Team because we know he does rely on the possessions and the hit-outs, but he is a super coach beast. I mean, 55% time on ground again this week and still knocked out the 84%. So you can imagine if he's playing 75 to 85% time on ground in the future, he's going to be an absolute moral for super coach leagues towards the end of the year and even going into next year when he stays fit.
Yeah, it's a bit interesting. Like, he got 82 fantasy points in this game up against one of the best rucks, if not the best ruck in the competition, in Brody Grundy. I'm surprised he says not to field him, but I suppose, like you're saying, I guess without the touches that he's probably not going to be able to get if he is on this strict minutes limit for the remainder of the season, which, you know, could be the case, then yeah, he's a pretty harsh option to field. All right, well, those are the fizz points of that game. We'll get on to the Sydney-Carlton game with the Statesman.
Yes, with Carlton and Sydney, this game allows us to answer the old age question, is Doss Dow? Both occasionally give us a highlight, a little spin here or there, or a quick little message that gets everyone a little laugh, but let's be honest, neither really are fantasy relevant. Sydney's makeshift ruck department will give some big points against quality ruckmen. So when you're looking for some captain options, if you've got your number one captain coming up against the Sydney Swans, I'd certainly recommend seriously looking at that as your captain for your week, because they could go ham. And last but not least on this game is my keeper by low, and it's Oliver Florent. He's in his third season. He's only had an 8-point bump this year, but with a young crew developing at the Swans, he will only get better, and he's a very likely fifth-year breakout. Plays on the wing. He's full of class and has certainly got some running capacity. So Oliver Florent is a big keeper buy low right now.
Okay, we'll get on to the next game, and that's the Hawthorn-Fremantle game. Jono, you check this one out.
Certainly did, and my boy Grant Birchall was back for his first game in what seemed like a long time, and he actually played pretty well from 66% time on ground, not quite the nice time on ground, for a handy 80 AFL fantasy and 87 Supercoach points as well. He did take a few of the kick-ins from time to time, so I'd like to track that a little bit more to see what sort of effect that has on James Sicily. When Birchall was playing deep and taking the kick-ins, Sicily was pushing up the ground a little bit more. As we know, Sicily didn't have quite as good as a game as he did last week, so certainly one to keep an eye on as well. Sean Darcy is no good up against the bigger body midfield. Ruckman, he was absolutely smashed in that first quarter, and Ross the Boss made the change straight after that and put Rory Lobb back into the middle. And we discussed this last week. We thought Lobb's time was done and dusted, but he carried his weight for the rest of the game in the middle, Rory Lobb, so scored pretty nicely in the end. We thought he was a bit of a trade target, but now he's got some value and you might want to hold on to him, especially as that forward. He scored the 90-yard super coach, so very handy in the super coach leagues as well. So pretty much all I noticed for this game was a bit of a one-way game.
With this Hawthorn-Fremantle game, I've already charted the centre bounce attendance numbers for this one, and there was two sort of things that stood out regarding one for each team, really. So on the Hawthorn side of things, we saw Wingard really spend a lot more time in the centre in this game. He actually attended 14 of the 24 centre bounces, and they look to be really trying to get him a run through the middle now. So that's going to be interesting watching how that goes from now. And from the Fremantle side of things, we've all been hoping for the Blakely surge of midfield time, and it's just not there at the moment. Ross Lyon does not like playing him in the guts. But I pose to you guys, is it necessarily that bad a thing, particularly for keeper leagues, but just going forward, like, looks like we're now pretty safely going to have him as a defender next year, and, you know, if the role change comes then. And plus, he's putting up still okay numbers as a defender.
Yeah, he still had the good numbers on the weekend, so he seems to be liking Reece Conker in the middle. I don't know why, but we all want Blakely in there, but he's going with Reece Conker, and maybe he's just got that slightly bigger frame, a bit more sturdier. Who knows, but hey, if he's still putting up the good numbers there, could be multiple injuries, and Blakely does get that mid-time eventually.
Well, Brayshaw season's in full swing for next year as well. Steve's getting very excited. He's spending a fair bit of time in the midfield now. So I'm not the only one that gets excited about youth. Steve is very pumped about that. Okay, on to Essendon, North Melbourne. And I checked this one out. It was actually a pretty good game to watch. Both teams pretty improved and, you know, looking okay. But it was a pretty low fantasy scoring game as well. So not a whole heap to talk about. But Jack Zabel spent a fair bit of time forward in the third quarter as the Kangaroos gave a bit more time to the rookie Tyron Thomas. So he's looking like a solid stash in your keeper, Statesman, because he looks like a jet, and giving him a little bit more time in the midfield now is Coach Shaw. So he looked okay in this one. The other thing... Oh, did I go Tyron? Taron. Sorry, Statesman. you'd know that. He's a Tassie boy, isn't he? Could it be Francis season, a delayed Francis season in your super coach with the injury to Michael Hurley? He's now going to be out for a bit. AC joint surgery. The other thing we did not see and we won't see going forward is the McKernan solo ruck. So people picking him up off the wire and hoping for that. Zach Clark looks to be playing there, and he did okay in this one as well. So McKernan scoring, not really going to get that bump. And the other thing, people have been pretty patient, but Ahern did get his crack in the guts in this game as well. Didn't get a whole lot of time on ground, but he did attend 11 centre bounces, taking pretty much the Davies Uniac time with him now out of the side, and didn't really score that well. So people holding their breath around him, at least he got the run in there, but didn't really put up good numbers. So, we also saw in this game, Jai Simpkin remaining as that primary midfielder. Didn't score great in this one, but it's definitely positive signs going forward for, I think he's only 21 years old or something. So they are playing him as a premium midfielder now. All right, we'll get on to the Suns-Crows game. Jono, you check this one out, and gee whiz, the Suns are struggling a little bit. Our poor Suns.
Yeah, stick a fork in them. They are done. Look, Stewie Jew, if you listen to the show, mate, I'm 190 centimetres, about 100 kegs. Can't run very far, but I can jump. Kick it all right 15 metres out. Stick me in the goal square, mate. Pay me a bucket of chips. I'm ready to go. They are absolutely horrible. But one thing I did notice, start your small forwards against the Suns. We saw the week before Castagna kicked 5. This week it was Eddie Betts who kicked 6. Did mention him in the late week pickups. So very handy return there. They got the Blues next week. The Blues are firing on all cylinders now. This is down in Melbourne, so you'd expect the Blues to score well. And when they actually play fast footy, the Blues, they're pretty handy fantasy scorers. So I'd be looking to pick up a few of them players next week. But can't take too much out of this game. It was all over by quarter time yet again. So the Suns players, they are absolutely cooked.
I wouldn't say just play your small forwards. I'd say play your everyone against the Suns at the moment.
Except for inside midfielders, because they do not touch the balls. It was all the outside players, your Millers, your Atkins. They're the ones who got the ball on the weekend, whereas the inside mids barely saw it.
Yeah, that's a good point. On the Gold Coast side of things, I think we better mention it. My boy, he's struggling over the past sort of month. The GOAT, Braden Fiorini. What are we seeing, Jono, that sort of... Because I saw he actually started this game at the centre bounce, usually comes off the bench, or he's been playing a little bit more outside, started at the centre bounce in the midfield. I mean, I'm guessing it's just because of the fact that they just can't get their bloody hands on the pill at the moment, but are you worried at all going forward for my boy? I'm not concerned, just asking the question.
In terms of fantasy, I'd be shipping off every single Gold Coast Suns player except for Jared Witts, because... he seems to be the only one who could score. Like, even Lockie Weller's scoring dried up. Could be a byproduct of playing Hanley and Harbrow. He was doing pretty well when Hanley was out of that team. So I'd be fading all things Gold Coast Suns right about now, except for Witts.
And I mean, I cop crap for a few waiver wire pickup suggestions, but Jesse Joyce was a pretty solid one last week there, Stevie Fizz. 46 fantasy, 26 Supercoach. Pretty nice nice choice there. All right, on to Cats, Saints, and Jono, you've got Stevie Fizz's notes for this one.
Yeah, he says Gary Ablett Jr. picked up a little niggle in this game, and with him being 34, 35 years old, they've actually got back-to-back road trips coming up in round 19 and 20. So there could be a rest in either both of those or one of those games. And if you're in leagues who play finals in round 19 and 20 starting off or finishing up or whatever, he could be missing. And Stato is going full ham because something happened. Mark Blixarves is back to key defence. We did see Radigalia come back into this team. Again, another late week pickup who scored quite nicely. For those who did play him, he was taking the backup of the Rucks with Reece Stanley. So he's going pretty well. And Hunter Clark back in the team. Steve says he's really starting to put it together. Had a pretty good game against the Cats on the weekend.
Yeah, it's really good to see Hunter Clark starting to carve up week to week. Didn't actually spend any time in the midfield. Was purely, I don't know, I didn't see this game, but I'm assuming...
I didn't just see it either, no.
Yeah, assuming that halfback role that he has been playing of late. And it's been really... really good to see him. Also a third-year breakout candidate. Statesman's favourite third-year breakouts. Hunter Clark looking really promising. It was good to see Brandon Parfitt as well, if you've sort of been holding on to him in your forward lines. He came back and spent a bit of time in the midfield as well, attending 10 centre bounces. So they're giving him another run through the midfield to finish this season off. guy that's sort of getting some centre bounces for Saints that hasn't translated into fantasy scoring, and I'm not sure sort of what the thinking is behind it. I mean, he is a burst player, but Jack Sinclair is spending quite a bit of time at centre bounces and running through the midfield. So just really strange. Want to get your take, because we've sort of, I think he's been copping a bit of hate from particularly Steve and a few others on the podcast, but Blake Akers, Statesman, I know he is your boy, I believe. Really sort of not spending much time in the midfield at all, and those numbers that he's putting up are pretty rancid.
Look, Blake Akers, I have put some paperwork through the family courts to disown him. look, to be honest, I think right now it's because he had some injuries leading in. So missed the preseason, you haven't got the full prep, and he probably needs that. But they probably need to have their full strength midfield for him to get the reward out of that team as well. So that's what I'm probably thinking at the moment. But obviously I'm a fair bit cooler on him as we speak. I don't know his positional status next year either, because I think that's a little bit shaky, because he has been spending a bit of time on the wing, inside, and also playing as a backup ruckman as well. So I'm a little bit concerned that he might get mid only, which will be a little bit of concern for what his scoring rate is. But Jack Stephen, we know he's a decent inside player, but look, they're missing so many midfielders through all their injuries. That's why he's been getting those opportunities. In other words, I don't trust that Sinclair scoring is going to be one of those. I think he's just outside the 22, and when a couple of injuries come, his opportunities come.
Alrighty, and something we got pointed out to us as well, which I noticed as well, was Mark Blitzarves. He might have been a nice streaming option for a couple of weeks while he was getting those ruck minutes, but with Asava Radaglia back in the side, he's just not going to be fieldable anymore for your leagues. Maybe in Supercoach, I don't know, but definitely not for the fantasy format. All right, we'll get on to the next game, and that was Richmond GWS. Jono, what have you got for us?
Yeah, well, Steve Coniglio has gone down with a knee injury. Not too sure what type it is, but that means one thing. Toby Green is a fucking gun, and he is getting midfield minutes straight into the guts. Pumped out a massive 138 Supercoach, I think about 120 AFL Fantasy. We know Kelly's expected to miss at least another couple of weeks.
Good trade, that one.
Kelly, we're not too sure. So it's all things Toby Green, Taranto and Hopper. Whitfield also copped a little bit of a bump, either the shoulder or the ribs, but he still carried on and pumped out massive 120 AFL Fantasy and I think 117 Supercoach. So should be all right unless he does miss a week, which would be very interesting for coaches out there. Harry Perriman also seemed to move up onto the wing, spend a bit of time in the midfield as well. So if you own him, he looked to get a big bump in his score, playing quite well.
And Statesman's own.
And also Tommy Lynch and Jay Roo seemed to work really well in that forward line, probably only for about the third or fourth time. Better Supercoach matchups there, with Tommy Lynch going the Supercoach ton only the second time this year. And Jack Rewalt scored pretty well in Supercoach for his first game backs. And they're not leaving the MCG, so plenty of opportunity for them to kick a big bag and get some fantasy points for the fantasy finals.
Burying the lead. You've buried the lead so deep that it's not even surfaced. Shy Bolton. Get around him.
Oh, I was going to get to him in the waiver wire pickups. But yes, Shy Bolton, back-to-back tons, is playing midfield minutes. He is my number one waiver this week. There you go. So a bit of a role change. It looks just to inject a bit of speed through that midfield. So a really good move there by Damien Hardwick.
Did we see, I haven't done the centre bounces, did we see Dusty spend a bit more time forward again this week based on that? Because it seemed like last week, I thought it was just going to be a once-off because it was against the Gold Coast Suns. But Shy Bolton just basically took Dusty's role, and Dusty went back to that, you know, 50% mid and 50% forward. Was that the case in this one again, Jono?
Yeah, spent a little bit more time forward. Had someone checking him. I can't remember who it was because De Boer was out, but a bit of close checking on Dusty and spending that time forward. But normally when he does go forward, he gets those contested marks and might kick two or three goals, but it was all Riewoldt and handsome Tom Lynch getting all the marks. So one to worry, but not too worried for Dusty because he's a gun and he'll come good.
Okay, Western Bulldogs Melbourne. Jono, you also checked out this game.
Certainly did. And it was spoken about last week, but the Gawn and Proust combination, there was a bit of concern there, but no worries whatsoever. They were splitting the ruck time about 50-50, but Gawn was going forward or back, just helping out wherever he was, maybe just to manage him a little bit, but still scored quite well. Probably would have scored a hell of a lot better was if Proust wasn't there. I see Proust hanging in that team because they need a tall target going forward. But it was interesting on the Dogs side, Timmy English was getting absolutely monstered by Gawn, and then after half time they threw Trengrove into the ruck there, and Timmy English spent the second half playing deep forward, so didn't take any more CBAs after half time that I can remember. Doss, you could prove me wrong with your count there, but he was playing deep forward and just running around doing whatever the hell he liked, trying to kick a few snags. Jordan Lewis in the guts yet again. Doss, I don't know if you've got the numbers there, but I would like to know his CBA attendances because it seemed like he had a few there.
Nah, I don't have him at the moment, but you can catch that on Wednesday. But I did last week. If it was the same role as last week, he was in there all the time. So I think, yeah, I could get up the numbers from last week, but it was he was in there just all the time, which I was sort of shocked at as well, that they just chucked in the old veteran back in there.
Yeah, I just kept noticing and did not notice Gus Brayshaw in there. He has done something horrible to Simon Goodwin, I swear to God, because his time on ground was putrid. His fantasy score was putrid. He only had two or three disposals until half time. It was that bad. So the Gus Brayshaw community meeting that normally meets on Wednesdays, that has been cancelled because the funeral for Gus is on Thursday. Tea and coffee will be supplied. So Gus Brayshaw's fantasy career is dead for 2019. And Captain Dunkley, if anyone's had the balls to Captain Dunkley, hats off to you, because I could never do it under a Luke Beveridge regime, because you just never know what's going to happen.
As if. I would have, if I had him, I would have been doing it for the last like 6 weeks.
Honestly, couldn't do it.
That's crazy.
Couldn't do it.
Jordan Lewis spent 62% of centre bounces last week and probably similar.
Or something similar, I'd imagine. Yep.
Yeah, we'll see how those numbers come out. Interested to see where Harms turned out in that, and if Harms got more on the, if Brayshaw, you know, missed a few there as well. Yeah, I mean, Brayshaw, he's a interesting conversation point going forward all year. He has been, just because it's not even just the role, though. Like, he just doesn't look himself this year. And, you know, what have you seen, Statesman, this year on Gus Brayshaw? Get your take on what you've been seeing in the last sort of, you know, 2 months. It's just not been pretty at all.
I don't watch him. I just watch your score going down and down and down, Doss. I'm thinking there must be some sort of injury, whatever that case may be. And obviously, the first thing we noticed here was all of a sudden not on the inside. But the second thing we've actually noticed is his game time has really dropped as well. Now, that to me seems like there's something they're managing. And I think we heard Scott Pendlebury talk about at the end of last year or the beginning of this year, that talked about 2018, that he was nursing an injury all year, and that's why his form, his points dropped, etc. So I'm expecting that we're going to hear something at some stage, oh, he was carrying this. That's what I think it is.
Yeah. All right, I think that was it, apart from Bailey Williams.
He tried to throw the game.
He was good.
Yeah, he tried to throw the game in the last 3 minutes.
Jeez. Oh, he tried his hardest.
That's all right. He was good early on. Port Brisbane, Statesman, last game in the round. What did you say?
Yeah, Port seemed quite untrustworthy. And yes, in football form, but also positional for our fantasy coaches. This happened again this weekend. In the second half, Boak moves back to that forward position. He's probably been their best inside midfielder all year, and all of a sudden he's playing half forward again, which is what sort of ruined his scoring for the last couple of years. And Robbie Gray all of a sudden moves into the midfield and pumps out a 112. Yes, it could be the in-the-game form, and it may be a little bit of the condition sort of led to that as well, but just be so careful when you're captaining a poor player. We talked about the Western Bulldogs before, but just be wary of that. Even if they're one of the better players, and we know they've got a couple that are averaging the 110 pluses, but being Boak and Rockcliffe. Even Rockcliffe seemed to have limited time on ground, especially in the first half, and actually struggled to get the scoring and only pumped out an 87. Steph Martin and his various partners, depending on injury or selection, are very hard to ruck duo to score against. So just be mindful. Doesn't matter who you've got. They even stopped Grundy and Gawn from going full hog as they normally do. So just be mindful when you've got that Brisbane matchup. Scott Lysette had been smashing it, and besides giving away, and I still can't understand half the ruck free kicks, but giving away, I think it was 6 or 7 free kicks for the day, he only scored 74. Been averaging 120 over that past 3 games. So just be mindful when you've got the Steph Martin matchup. And last but not least, and this one's a little bit of a sad one, and it's not too often a lot that I put a line through players, but here's one you have to do now because it's just been too many times. Because it's sadly not the first injury to Ryan Burton. Talented, yes, but now more of a streaming player that you put on your bench and on a Friday night game to see if you take his score. He's not a keeper. There might be a few coaches that feel differently about this. So if you own him, float him around and see what you can get for him, because he's not a long-term keeper, I'm sorry.
Well, just due to injuries, like just yeah. The injury concern you're worried about.
If you're a young player and you have consistent injuries, that is never a good sign. And we talked about this when I did that trade with Cam. Very nervous of the amount of games that Josh Kelly misses. Top quality player, I know, but he constantly having some form of injury. He's had groins, now he's got a calf. A calf is an old man injury, something Steve should know about, not Josh Kelly. at the end of the day, it is a concern. There is the risk-reward. I think Steve and I had this conversation about Gary Ablett last year or the year before, knowing that he was only going to play the 15 games. Where does he go in your drafts? And he was probably looking higher than I would and saying, well, for 15 games, you get a 105 to 110 averaging player. And for the other 7 rounds, you're putting someone at 70. So that gives you an average of of probably 100 for the year for that position. So he felt that a player of real high quality, which is what Josh Kelly is, that you still go with him as a reasonably high quality because you can still get a 70 or 80 scoring midfielder for the games he's going to miss. If that makes sense. With a Ryan Burton, who we're talking a 70s, low 80s at best defender, if he's going to average 15, you're actually better off streaming and get someone else that's going to be there week in, week out, like a Blake Hartwick, who's actually scoring more than him and is quite secure and regular, or a Maynard, another one for Collingwood, there every week and doesn't give you the 110s, but gives you 70-odd each and every week.
That's an interesting take to have on your keepers, just getting those guys that are considerably more reliable on the injury front, certainly. Yeah, I guess I haven't probably thought. I've thought about that, obviously, for particular players.
Sorry, no, leave it at that. You hadn't thought.
I hadn't thought about it. Thank you, Statesman, for enlightening me. Now, Lincoln McCarthy in this one, continuing his a bit of a mid-forward role, Statesman, because he's been putting up some really nice numbers in the past sort of 3 weeks.
Yeah, no, it's been stunning, averaging 61.
Well, have you seen his last month?
I know, but this is a streamer.
I mean, you have been out for a while, I understand. Yeah. You've probably been checking for a while.
This is a streaming option, isn't it? That's exactly what it is. He's not someone that you should actually be planting at one of your five positions in the forward line. At the end of the day, he's a streaming option. And this is one we're talking about again. How often has he been able to put 22 games on the park? He's averaging 61, so if he only plays 15 games and averages 61, sadly the replacement's going to average more.
All right, Statesman. Waiver wire pickups, Captain Risky, and those Keeper League deadline deals still to come. But first, checking in on iTunes, and we are aiming to get 230 ratings to get Jono eating the world's hottest corn chip, doing a dance, and shoving his face in peanut butter. How are we tracking, Jono?
Doing pretty well, and might as well throw that nudie run on grand final day in as well, because we are up to 215 ratings as we speak, so getting closer to doing that with a review from an ex-St Kilda supporter. They love the show. They've enjoyed listening to us all year long. They are only writing reviews so they can help get to the 230 for the Hot Chip Challenge. So keep them coming. I'm looking forward to doing that, and I will even add some extra spicy sauce, some Ghost Reaper sauce on top of that once we get to 230.
You better order in those hot chips. Are those corn chips ready to go? Because I think we'll be getting there pretty shortly.
Yeah, they're only $10. I'll get a couple of bags and get into them.
And I'll already put myself in trouble. I love coffee, as you all know. Not quite as much, actually probably more than peanut. That's how much I love my coffee. But I'm lactose intolerant, so things can...
No, I've got your challenge. We're just going to do a clean skin challenge from Dan Murphy's. We're going to find the worst bottle of red wine we can find, and you can drink that.
Oh, no. But well, actually, it's probably better for my system, because I was going to suggest that I'll knock back an iced coffee, which I know potentially I will throw up. But certainly, and we're not filming this part, I'll be hell for about 6 hours.
If we get to
250, then we'll look at that. So we'll debate whether it's the cheapest shocking bottle of red wine or it's a nice coffee that's going to make Statesman take
sick. We don't want to make it sick. Don't want to make it sick.
I don't know. I think we can think of something even far worse than both of those things, Statesman, for you, given your rancid displays lately. On to waiver wire pickups for the week. Only using players with under 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy. So if you're in a shallower league, there's probably some better options available. Jono, do you want to kick us off with Shai Bolton?
Shai Bolton, 20% ownership into the midfield, has scored back-to-back tons in both fantasy formats. Get around him. Lincoln McCarthy, averaging 90 over the previous month, is in 60% of leagues. I will be getting him into my team as an F5, very handy forward pickup there.
But he's only a streamer, Jono.
Handy F5, and good bench coverage too, if you need it. My boy, Grant Birchall, he was 50% on Friday, now up to 55%. Get him in your team. Loving what they're doing, the Hawk Grant Birchall. Jack Silvani, 67%. Levi Casbolt is in 30% of teams, and they are playing Steve's Gold Coast Suns on the weekend, so should be a bit of a bloodbath there. Jack Rewalt's at 66%, probably better for your super coach formats. Taylor Jure, if you want to have this, defenders have been good against the Saints all year long. He's in 26% of teams. Charlie Cameron, again, another super coach ton. He's in 51% of teams. And his brother, Jared, is in just 14% of teams, having a pretty good start to his career. And the West Coast Eagles are coming to Melbourne to play Melbourne this weekend. So Melbourne have been pretty rancid, and Jared Cameron's been in pretty good form, but That's all I've got. And maybe if he's floating around in any leagues, he does have high ownership. Maybe look for a Brett Delidio as well. Could be pretty handy.
All right, Statesman, what have you got on the waiver wire front?
I don't know whether you covered these. Sorry, I was just doing some added research. Did you do Levi Casbolt?
Mm-hmm. We did.
Taylor Duray.
Yep.
Done. Covered.
Yeah, mine were just Hunter Clark, Shai Bolton, Levi Casbolt. Darcy Tucker's still only, he's in 71, so it is a bit more. But for his last month, Statesman, you honoured the Tuck this year in off-brand.
You are never allowed to bring up Tucker again. Full stop.
I did a sly convincing
The Statesman. Just for the listeners, I've hashtag off-brand, I started pretty well round one. So I was in a position to start the challenge, but I did have Dusty being the Thursday night game is the opener, is Richmond and Carlton. Knowing Carlton aren't going too well, I thought I'll bring in a VC option. So you've got to take the option of trying to go the loophole, no matter what competition you play, no matter what format you play. If you've got a chance to use a loophole, you've got to have a crack at it. So I had a crack at Dusty, and as we all know, everyone was writing Dusty off after the 4 weeks going, and I was never going to get back to 2017. He did do that a little bit later, but he only scored 81. So I had to look where to go, and I wanted to drop so I could, because I had two selections, I think Clark and Perryman. Perryman got injured at 25, and Clark somehow played a small forward for Sydney. Who knew that role would exist for him? But anyway, so I wanted to actually save a bit of money. Now, smart Statesman would have just gone down to Brad Crouch, who I had a thing about injury and not bringing him in. But someone raised to me a certain player that had scored 110 round one. So I'm travelling around the country, and I thought, well, I'll call up KO and I'll watch the game. Remarkable. And I think even my comments were, this is a breakout candidate. Didn't see the game myself originally. Watched it and watched the whole game. Wow, that was impressive. Role was fantastic. We needed to find people that were going to take responsibility in the midfield. So we're all asking who's going to get the extra minutes. Was going to be Blakely because Lachie Neal had gone. And here's this man round one. So I use the phrase honoured the tuck on Doss's advice. And how did that go, Doss?
Well, that was me, the beginning of my sabotage of your team, attempted sabotage, and you've still managed to come back and spank me anyway.
And but, yeah, I will say I brought in your boy after his great form, averaging 114, got him the week he got tagged and then got injured and was out the next week. So that's why I often say Doss is 0-2. And I never listen to DOS again. DOS is Dow. Not much fantasy relevance.
Well, I think now is the time to honour the Tuck, though. He's in some good form. Jake Kelly at 61% and Bailey Williams, 41%. Instrumental in the Dogs' win. A great pickup. Okay, so
great
instead
if
of
you're
trade...
playing VFL fantasy.
Yes.
Instead of trade of the week, we are doing our Keeper League deadline deals. So a trade in and trade out each for your Keeper Leagues. What's your first option here, Statesman? A trade in or a trade out?
I think I've already mentioned him. He needs to be Ryan Burton, needs to be the trade out. And I know it's injured and it's a bit hard to sell, but if you're looking at teams down the bottom of the ladder that don't need don't need players that are exactly playing because their season's over, and we know that he is a highly touted defender, and I think the right type of coach, say we got Big Cox, who's purchased Ryan Burton off me before, can be a bit of a sucker for young men, just like you, Doss.
All right, Jono, have you got a trade in or trade out for a Keeper League?
Trading in Jack Lukosius. I have watched a little bit of the Gold Coast Suns this year. He was recruited as a midfielder, but Stewie Jew has put him behind the ball just to get a feel of the game and see how it's played out. So I'm assuming he's going to get defender status probably next year moving forward. And you've got the likes of Hanley and Harbrow coming towards the end of their career. So if he spends another year or two playing off that halfback rebounding role, where we know he's got the great foot skills, and then he moves through the midfield, he's going to have that DPP for a couple of years, and he'll be a great defender midfielder as he builds into that fourth, fifth year breakout. So I'll be looking to get Jack Lukosius into my team, quick sticks.
Yeah, nice one. My one is, I'll go with a trade out, and this is very dependent on where you are in your team. So this is not a trade out. If you are contending this year, this is not a trade out. This is if you've got him and you're not contending. But I just think Jack Zeebel is a trade out right now, based on the fact that next year the forward status I don't think will be there, and I don't think he's a guy that is going to age well with the fact he's a bash and crash type player, that sort of big body guy. And also, I think with North, they've actually got a lot of young mids that they're going to want to run through the midfield in the next couple of years. So, I mean, he might still be okay, but in terms of a keeper, yeah, he's one I'm looking to trade out. Obviously, like I said, if you are contending this year, you want to hold him for the rest of the year. But if you are in the position, then that's what I'd be doing.
And our listeners need to be mindful that DOS doesn't think anyone ages well.
Yes.
My trade
especially you.
Is one of your boys, Doss. Jackson Haitley.
Oh, I see.
Now, obviously only had the four games this year, but this is a player that is going to be a massive scorer. And what's actually going to happen right now, currently he's out of the team. With the injury woes at the GWS, there is no doubt that he's probably next in line. So if he gets the opportunity and gets good midfield time, he's going to score well. So this right now is the point where you're going to be able to buy this young future gun the cheapest that you're ever going to get him. And there's no doubts with a couple of scores in the 80s this year, and he's got an average of 70, that people already have him on the list, like DOS.
Yep.
So you'll find that people already have him, and at the moment, GWS are probably on a little bit of a on the nose as a club, and this is the week and the opportunity to trade in Jackson.
Awesome one. Jono, what's your next one? Is it a trade out or trade in?
Well, since my first one was a trade in, this one has to be a trade out, DOS. My trade out is Jeremy Howe. Now,
wow.
He has had a pretty ordinary year this year, injuries, dubbing in Jaden Stevenson for gambling. But if you're in that premiership window, there's still a chance that he can come back this year and score pretty well in fantasy-wise. We know that Darcy Moore's down the hamstring, so he will be that rebounding defender when he comes back in. Schoenberg's out of the team. So it's all positive for Jeremy Howe. Probably got a couple of years left in him, so I'd be looking to float to him to people who are challenging for the flag, where I've got him in my keeper league team where I'm in a bit of a rebuild phase at the moment. So, DOS, I will not be accepting your trade for all these 40-year-old blokes that I do not want. So maybe come at something with a bit more middle age, and, yeah, I'll be getting rid of Jeremy Howe and offer him to someone going for a tilt at the flag.
Okay, nice one. Yeah, Statesman.
Now, while we're talking about trades, I've been trying to do this for a very long time, so we can only give this a two-minute try. Now,
I don't have Doherty anymore, I'm sorry.
but what I want to do is a live trade. I've always wanted to do this. We're just about the trade deadline. This is the last time we can do it this year. And, DOS, you're trying to get rid of your old blokes.
I am.
Correct.
And I know who you want.
I'm trying to get the premiership. Actually, you know what I would want? I'd actually want a forward more than a midfielder. But you've been trying to sell Rocky, so let's talk.
I don't think I'd want to sell him to you, seeing as your team name is... What is your team name against Statesman?
That can
I don't
be
think
part
I'll be
with, that
helping
can,
you
that can be
do anything.
That can be part of the trade. That can be NXB, that I change my name and like Gary Hocking did, go whiskers. So I can actually put the signage and messaging, whatever you would like, is DOS is the best rather than DOS is no good. So that can be actually part of the trade. So Have you got a forward that you're happy to trade out?
I'd have to look. I'll get my team open and go through my final buy as well. So my trade in, and this is coming off of what we've just seen, the most disgusting display, and the coach doesn't like him, all that sort of stuff. But Angus Brayshaw, I think if you are sort of going through a rebuilding period in your keeper league, that Angus Brayshaw could provide you with a great high, well, semi-high risk, massive upside for a 2020 bounce back, hopefully. You know, hopefully we do see that there is a bit of a
I think Angus Brayshaw is yours. And I think you need to keep him because that's what
I'll be keeping him.
So really it's Rockcliffe, but do you have a an older forward? I don't think you have, just off the top of my head from what I looked at. So let's talk about him. Now, I do have some young talent here that won't really be part of my starting group. So my thoughts are to give you one or two of the younger talent that would be something worthwhile for you in the future.
I don't think I'm not willing. I think I've looked at your team multiple times. I'm just not ready to trade with you, Statesman. I'm not. Chuck me Taranto and we'll talk. I'm at that point with you. That's where I'm at with you.
Well, that's where you're at with me.
That's where I'm at.
Okay. Now, fair enough. A live trade's not going to happen.
No. Could I ask you guys one thing to finish up this keeper discussion? Would it be crazy now to sell Toby Nankervis? With Soldo's, I guess, emergence as being their decent ruck while he's been out, and is Nankervis, you don't like injury riddled people. I mean, he's had a few injuries now, hasn't he? Including this big adductor that's taken him out for ages. Long term, is Nank still the number one ruck at Richmond, basically, is what I'm asking.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I've actually brought him in on the cheap. Because I had Callum Sinclair and Rhys Stanley, and I don't think any of them had a future. So I actually wanted, the second tier ruckman, and because he was injured, that was in. So it was a bit of a package deal, but I'm quite comfortable that he's the number one. Soldo will be the understudy.
Alrighty, well, we'll get to a Captain Risky to wrap this up. And Statesman, have you got a Captain Risky for us this week?
Yes, as we talked about, you were so excited about the Fremantle defenders scoring well, but they were playing Hawks. So we're actually going to work on the same theory that the defenders can score quite well on the Hawks. So the captain risky this week, and it's not, a player averaging 114 DOS, or someone that had a five-round average of 128, Jono. So we're actually going to go someone that's a little bit risky, and it's Tom Stewart. So with the Hawthorn teams giving up a fair whack of points, and his form's been pretty solid this year, I think he's averaging 97. I think he's the sort of leader scorer of the Geelong defensive unit. So I'll be looking for a score of a 110 plus from a Captain Risky this week. Last week, my header Captain Risky was Justin Westhoff, and made that call before he was even selected in, and pumped me out 132. So hopefully Tommy Stewart can rival that one with probably 115 is my estimate of what he can score as my Captain Risky this week.
All right, awesome. Check out the Draft Doctor's website to find more of those Statesman's skippers. Hopefully we
can do them.
One this week. Yeah. Also check out the Draft Doctor's website for late week pickups. That's with Jono on a Friday. We've also got a bunch of other articles as well with the injury report. That's going to be written by Steve for a little bit. And we've got a dozen deals by Sam Porter. And the Centre Bounce Attendance article on a Wednesday, checking out all the CBAs for the week. So check out the draftdoctors.com.au for all your draft needs. All right, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.